All right, we'd like to thank Karen and Jake Abelovitz for sponsoring this morning's Locks and Learn. Leila Nishmas, Jake's beloved parents, Leila Ben Abba, Leila Bas Abram, and Karen's brother, Yeshua Ben Shimon Dov, and Hashem should have an aliyah. So we are in the middle of a long, what is turning out to be a long analysis of the five students of Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai. For those of you, if this is the first time you're here, don't worry. We will not leave you in the cold. We will explain everything with enough background for you to understand what's going on today. Obviously, the more background you have, the better appreciation you might have of today's sources. And to that end, feel free to go catch up online. All of the shiurim are recorded on YU Torah. But again, we won't leave you hanging today. We'll try to explain everything to the best of our ability. So, if we recall, we are dealing with Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai asked his students the question, what is the straight path that a person should stick to, cling to? And last week we spent a good chunk of time talking about one of those answers, the answer of Rabbi Eliezer Ben Horkanus, which was Ayin Tova, good eye. All right, so we contrasted good eye versus evil eye. A little bit of the mystical aspects of it, the psychological aspects. Today, the goal is to start with the other answers. I think we will get through a few of them. The hope is to get through three out of four decently and save one of them for next week. So let's dig in to at least the easier ones to understand. Let's review, actually, first last week. So if you look in your source sheets, source number one goes to the Mishnah. What is the Derech Yishar Shibakva Adam? Rabbi Eliezer says, Ayin Tova. Rabbi Yeshua says, Chaver Tov, a good friend. So we're going to analyze that today a little bit. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Shachin Tov, a good neighbor. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Haroas Anola, to be able to foresee the future, see what is coming up. For those of you who are a little bit lost to where we are, you have two pages. You might be starting with the wrong page. Okay? So it's at the top of the page should say good friends, good neighbors, and good hearts. Okay? Everybody with us?
Good deal.
Good? Good deal. Fine. So again, good neighbor. Good friend, good neighbor, seeing the future, foreseeing the future as best as we can. Rabbi Lazar Omer Lev Tov, a good heart. And then Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai concludes and says, Amar Lan Roa Nias Divrei Elazar Ben Araf. I favor the answer of Rav Elazar ben Arach, meaning a lev tov, to have a good heart. Why? Shebechlal dvarav divreichen. Because within what you stated, all of you, your other answers, lev tov encompasses all of that. So a few questions to think about as we go through all of this. Number one is, first of all, what exactly, as we'll get to, what is, the others are sort of easy to understand. We had a tough time with good eye last week, but good neighbor, good friend. We'll see some explanations, but it's pretty straightforward. Being able to foresee the future. Again, maybe we'll have a in-depth analysis, but on the face of it, we can understand just the words to what it means. What does it mean to have a good heart? It's a metaphorical statement. What does it encompass? What does it include? And I want us to be careful as we try to analyze this later today, not to instill our own understanding of the metaphor of heart into what the sages of the Mishnah might have meant when they said heart. So don't use our modern, if there is a distinction, we'll have to analyze it. So just be careful not to say, just because they say heart, oh, we use heart to mean this. So they must mean heart to mean this as well. So let's be careful not to fall into that trap. Other things to consider and to think about is what is the relationship between these five answers? So what we're going to see, either this week or next week, within the commentators, is there a progression within these answers? Do we build? Is the second answer, I mean, if you could picture it as it was happening, this might be false, I don't know exactly how it happened, maybe he had them write their answers all at the same time so nobody piggybacked off of the other answers, but if we can picture the classroom as it's happening, and he's saying, what's the best path? And the first guy says, I am Tova. Right? So does the second guy, when he, let's assume for a second that he heard the answer, Ayin Tova. So now, is he trying to beat that answer? Right? So when he says, Chaver Tov, should we assume and should we try to analyze and understand that there is an additional aspect over having a good eye that Chavar Tov has. And then further, does being a good neighbor, is the assumption that that incorporates or encapsulates more than being a good friend? Is seeing the future, Ros and Olad, is that also encapsulating more than the previous answers? So we're going to have to think about that. Or are these just independent answers that at the end Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai happens to tell us that I like this one better because it encapsulates everything? But as we go along, is each one independent or is each one above and beyond the previous one?
Assuming they're all in
their
room at the same time.
As I started, I'm making that assumption, and that is a fair critique that we don't know if that's true. But even if you don't make that assumption, you could ask the same question. Meaning they could be in different rooms, this all could be at different times. The question is, as we read the Mishnah, this is a broader point to go side step for a second. So let's assume that there was a classroom, and this is and they're talking about this in the classroom. Does that mean that when the Mishnah was written down, which is later, that they are videotaping exactly what happened in the classroom? There's really two layers here. There's what was said and how it was recorded. So even if you want to say it happened in the classroom, it didn't happen in the classroom, etc., we don't know exactly how it happened, we could analyze either way. At least in terms of how the Mishnah is redacted, how it's recorded, is there a progression, is there no progression? So the question is sort of independent of how it actually happened. I was giving a trying to get us to visualize, to make it easier to understand what's going on, but the question stands either way. Is there a progression, is there no progression? Okay, so that's one thing to keep in mind as we go forward. The other thing to keep in mind is that we're going to have to understand, according to all the commentators, what does it mean at the end that a Lev Tov, a good heart, encapsulates all these things? A good heart has each one of these elements? It doesn't say, I like that answer because it's better. He says, I like that answer because it encapsulates. So we're going to have to understand, how does Lev Tov encapsulate everything? We might raise a few more questions as we go along, but for now let's jump in. So just to review from last week, the four things that we saw, the four explanations of what Ayin Tov means. So this is on the first page. You can see on the left-hand side it says Ayin Tov, and then it's 1, 2, 3, 4. So just briefly, 1, what does it mean to have a good eye? The Rambam said it means to be satisfied with your lot. Right? Sort of like an Ezu Ashir Asomeach B'chal Ko type of idea. Having a good eye, being satisfied with your lot. Sforno says don't be jealous, which is a similar concept. The Meiri said be happy in the good that befalls others. So if something nice happens to somebody else, don't be jealous, be happy about that. And Rabbeinu Yonah took it a little bit further and said it's the midas hanedivus, magnanimity, to be able to not just to feel good about good things happening to other people, but actually wanting to do stuff, do good things for all other people. So that's the Rabbeinu Yonah. Now, as we go further, remember that this is not a monolithic approach. Each commentator has a slightly different answer to each one, and they're going to have to be consistent with each other. Right? So when Rabbeinu Yonah says that Ayin Tov means this, then his next answer is going to have to be in sync with his answer with Ayin Tov. So Chavar Tov and Shachin Tov has to fit with Rabbeinu Yonah. But that might not fit with the Rambam, and it might not fit with the other people. So it might get a little confusing, but we're going to try to keep it as clear as possible. Just as we go through it, remember who is saying what, and what did they say beforehand. Okay, so now, new stuff. Chaver Tov. So what does it mean to be a Chaver Tov? So the Meiri, in 1, under Chaver Tov, says, Amar Rabbi Yeshua Chaver Tov, Shiyas Ya'etz Imo, Bechol Inyanav, V'yochichenu mikol shkiyosav. So actually, before we delve into this, just let's back up for a second. What do you think? Why would he give the answer that the best path to take is a chaver tov? What does chaver tov mean, and why is it important? Why would that be the answer? Okay, so maybe if I'm by myself, I'm not going to be able to learn so well, so I have to go and have a chavrusa. Yeah?
Models good behavior.
Good, a Chaver Tov could model good behavior. I could learn from him. Unity, connection to other Jews. Yeah?
A real Chaver Tov would point out to you
the pluses of what you're doing in addition to gently criticizing the things that you may be doing wrong.
Gentle. Okay, so you've got some sort of rebuke, some critique, and also reinforcement of the good things. Yeah.
Is it clear from the wording whether we're talking that he should be a chaver tov or we should have a chaver tov?
Excellent. Good. So what does it mean, chaver? We just say the word chaver tov, good friend. Does good friend mean that I should have a good friend, or I should be a good friend?
According to this, be a good friend, but a good friend.
Well, who said according to this? According to who?
Yeah.
Time out. You're going too far. So don't read that yet. So back up. Just from the words chaver tov, we don't know. Chaver tov can mean good friend. Be a good friend. Chaver tov can mean have good friends. Okay? Good.
This you cannot control. Good friend.
Well, maybe you could. Maybe that's the advice here, is to make sure you surround yourself with people who would be good friends. And maybe it's reciprocal. Right? So how do I surround myself with good friends? By being a good friend, right? So maybe they go hand in hand, that in order to have good friends, I have to be a good friend. Okay, so that's a nice add-on here. So let's see how the commentators basically, and I think it's an important lesson to incorporate into our own learning, right? When you take a step back and you just ask questions, most of the time, you, me, and anybody learning will be able to anticipate what the answers are going to be. So just in this 10 seconds of reflection, you basically named all of the commentators. Not every single one, but as a whole, the main commentators just explain exactly like you said. It's not always so simple, but it's always good to take a step back and see if we can figure this out on our own. So, and now when we read the commentators, it makes more sense. Look at the Me'iri in that source number one. V'amar Rabbi Yeshua Chaver Tov, she is ya'itz imo b'chol in yanav. So we're going to ask advice from this Chaver. V'yochichenu mikoshki osav. And this friend will rebuke us anytime we make mistakes. V'yadrichenu ala tobos. And as Chaim said, to also positively reinforce and help us go on the good path. Ubo yishlamu in yanav. And this is how you're going to able to continue or complete all of your actions, all of your missions in life. So the Miri says, Chaver Tov is going to rebuke and also give some good advice. The Bartanura, the next source, says, Chaver Tov, Shemochicho, Kishiro, Aso, Osedavar, Shenu Hagun. He picks out the rebuke part, so I'm going to be able to critique you in a nice, kind, gentle way if you do something wrong. Sporno, in the next section, start in the end of that first line where it says, Chaver Tov, last three words. Chaver tov, yivchar lischaberim adam ba'amai. So he says, you do have a choice, yivchar, bocher. Choose to connect with people who are ba'amailos, midos, and muskalos. They're intelligent, they're nice, they're kind. Ki b'charusa b'chevrato yikne osam el nikda. This is tough. This is like el... Al nikla v'tik... So this is a little bit of tough. What's that word? Writing. So basically, what he's saying is that when you have a good friend, so the friend is going to be able to. I think this is Barry. This might be what you said. I don't remember, or maybe it was somebody else. To model the behavior, right? So when you're modeling behavior, when you have good friends, you're able to. To see what they do, and to be able to copy that. So basically, just I summed it up, all three of the ideas that we saw, is having a good friend gives you advice, rebuke, and models good behavior. So in source number four, Rabbeinu Yonah says, no, you got this all wrong. You misunderstood this. And he says that it doesn't mean, like Dr. Fruchter said, so what does it mean that to be a good friend? Not to have good friends, to be a good friend. Source number four, she yidbak al derech hayashar hazeh, V'hu nakala soso lios chaver tov liish acher lasher libo chafetz. You should be a good friend to other people. Ulahar gilatzmo shatei ruach acheres nochem. And we should do things that make other people like us. V'chen yavo ba'ava in kol abrios. And that will create love amongst all people. Now, Rabbeinu Yonah, why does he say this? So why does he say so? So you pointed out that it's because it's ambiguous. Does it mean to have a good friend or be a good friend? But think bigger context. What's the question and what's the answer? The question is, what's the path that I should cling to? The answer is, have a good friend. How is that an answer? Right. All the other answers, presumably, have, let's say, easily, Ayin Tova, Lev Tov, is for what? Is for me to do something, to work on something, to complete something. And all of a sudden it means to just go and somebody else should be good? Doesn't make any sense. So Rabbeinu Yonah says... So that's actually, if you look, skip for a second. Rabbeinu Yonah makes it clearer in Shachin Tov. We'll see the progression, but we'll skip for a second. In the next section where I underlined Shachin Tov number 3, Rabbeinu Yonah says the same thing. Shiye ba'atzmo Shachin Tov. You yourself should be a good neighbor. I'll call Shachin up to all of your neighbors. Ve'achar yosu tov o'ev ne'mon l'chamisha b'nei adam. I'll say, you're a good friend to 5, 8 people, whoever's on your block. I guess he didn't realize, apartment buildings and all this stuff. But, all your neighbors, you get 5 or 8 people, you're good. Karo v'lov adar v'lehov is called v'yolam. And now all of a sudden, it's going to spiral, and you're going to like everybody. V'nimsa m'lusher v'kol midos tovos. So I must have forgotten to copy it, but somewhere explicitly within the Rabbeinu Yonah, he says this point, is that it doesn't make sense to say that it means to have good friends, to have a good neighbor, because the whole concept of the Mishnah is things you should be working on, you should be improving, so it means you should do things that make you a good friend. You should do things that make you a good neighbor. And big picture, remember that we're not looking for small little ideas here. The question is, what's the big idea? Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, what is the big idea that's going to help us be good people? So you want to be a good person? Figure out how to be a good friend. If you can, under the umbrella of everything you need to be a good friend, that's a Derech Yisharah.
So the focus is for yourself. You is teaching you how you should be.
Correct. That's Rabbeinu Yonah's point. Other commentators disagree. So let's analyze this for a second. Okay, 1 second. We'll analyze it in a second. Yeah, Barbara.
Here, I think he's saying not only to be a good friend to certain people, but to be a good friend to everybody. Because if
So that's the neighbor part, yeah.
No, so that
he says it.
Yeah, you should be a good friend to everyone. In other words, you shouldn't only limit yourself to one person or two persons, but you should strive to be a good friend to everybody.
Right.
Not only.
Correct. It creates momentum. So when you're able to learn how to be a friend, or when you learn how to be a good friend to one person, two people, three people, shachin now, it's in 5, 8, 10 people, then it spirals, and you can be a good friend to your whole community, and to all clients. Good point. So now let's take.
Doesn't he see from that, so I didn't lose everybody else, individuals or neighbors, this will allow them to be good to each other? I guess
you can take it that next step, and he doesn't say it explicitly, but take it the next step is that if I'm good, then now we can tie it into the other people's interpretation. So if I'm a good friend to you, now all of a sudden you're going to be able to model my behavior.
By him being good to everybody else, but they will be good to everybody.
Right, because I'm modeling it for them. So I'm saying you could put all of these in a nice big sandwich and say that if I'm good and you're good and everybody's good and we all live as one big happy family. That could be the message. So just take a step back for a second. So Rabbeinu Yonah makes sense. I'm asking for a midah that you should encapsulate, that you should try to inculcate rather into your character. What about these other ones who say that it means that you should have a good friend? Why is that so important to have a good friend? We gave answers. Okay, he'll give me some rebuke. Very nice. But I'm asking you for what is the meat and potatoes of being a good person. And you're answering, he can give you some rebuke. It seems a little bit out of proportion. Or not. Maybe we have to just expand it a little bit. Maybe we have to give it a little bit more to understand what is so important about having a chaver tov. Yeah. Right, so referring back to the earlier Mishnah, to Knei Lecha Chaver, to get a friend, to acquire a friend. Correct, it's important. There's no question about that. I still don't... If it was good friend versus Lev Tov, sort of like not a fair fight. We haven't understood Lev Tov yet, but yeah, 1 second, we haven't heard from
you. If you have a bad friend, maybe they can lead you down the wrong path.
So that would be the flip... Right, we're going to see the flip later, is that he asked them what's the bad path to go on, and the chaver tov becomes chaver ra, right? To have a bad friend, because that's really bad. Yeah. So maybe the idea here, yeah, one or two more.
We also talked about developmental, like a life cycle. So when you're younger, you need someone to lead you and to help you learn the correct methods. And as you get older, you can then be a model to others. So it's not like a one-time thing. You need different things at different points of your life.
Okay, so we have good point. Maybe these are different parts of your life. You need different things. Okay, yeah. So good. So just putting everything together.
I was just going to say, I think you have to explain the word chaver, and I think it means environment. It's very important what's your environment? Where do you live? Who do you associate with? Because the influences will, whether positive or negative, are great. In other words, chaver is not a human being per se, but rather a...
Right. So good. So good point also that when you use that phrase, this reflection is both on the chaver and the shachan. Last comment.
I think no matter how good you yourself are, you're not living in a vacuum, is what they're saying.
So I think everybody together, what the point here is that our social environment is really, really, really essential and important. And that you might think that the best way to live is to isolate yourself, and the best way to live is to live on in a cave somewhere and meditate all day. But that's not what Jewish life is all about. Jewish life is about connecting. Jewish life is about chaverim. Jewish life is about the social influence, the environment, the context, the culture that we have. And if we can't figure out how to do that together, how to have good friends and how to have good neighbors and create good communities, then we're going to be lost. Then we have nothing. So this isn't just a small thing. I'm not saying that having somebody to rebuke you is small, but it's a bigger picture here. It's not just that you're going to be a little bit better person. This is it. We need to have good social relationships in order to survive as Jews. Ben Adam L'Chavero here is going to be essential. Okay, good. So now, go look in Shachin Tov, the Meiri. What's so good about a Shachin Tov, a good neighbor? Amr Biyose, Shachin Tov, also Hakavana Ba'atzmo, Ki Hashachin Ro'a Tamed Inyano, Vimuto, Vyashreu, Vamesh Yasa Karoi, Vyokicheu, Vahavko. So basically, what is a Shachin Tov? Shachin is the same thing as a Chaver. You get the same benefits. He's going to rebuke you. He can be a model for you. He can give you advice. But what does he have above and beyond? Let's assume now there's a progression. Above and beyond. Or what's different between a shachin and a chaver?
He's always there.
Right? If you look at the next verse, Rashi, shachin tov yoser tov mechaber tov. So Rashi assumes that it's better. Why? Shishcheno roeu kol shav b'yom v'layla. V'lomed b'masav. Your neighbor's always there. Day, night. No matter what. Your neighbor's always there. So it's perhaps more important to have a shachin tov, to surround yourself with better people, because they're there more often. Yeah.
But if you notice in Rashi, he says, it means he's always watching you. In other words, you better watch what you're doing because there's somebody watching you.
Good.
Keeping you aware.
Exactly. Good.
That means more than a chaver who might look aside, a shachin is seeing what he couldn't see.
Right. And maybe, and the interesting thing about shachin is now you could also go that route and say, shachin might not mean that the person likes you. Right? So chaver tov, you might have a nice, good reciprocal relationship. When it comes to a neighbor, you might have to be on your best behavior, because that person, the second you do something wrong, boom.
This is why
they're going
to
get you.
You have to build a fence between neighbors.
Uh-huh.
Good fences make good neighbors.
Correct. I mean, So the point here again is that it might not be that you need to develop a good relationship with your neighbor per se. Maybe that's important, and maybe that's even harder to do. Meaning to be have a good friend, like, okay, so I'm forgiving, I'm this, I'm that, we can create a reciprocal relationship. Neighbor is, I got to be on my best behavior all the time, and I have to maybe kiss up a little bit to my neighbor. And I So I really have to be on my best behavior. Maybe they're watching. Maybe they're seeing what I'm doing. Maybe I have to. I mean, listen. I had the other day. The other day, I've really never heard such a crazy fight in my life. But somebody around the block from me, they were literally yelling on the top of their lungs about the stupidest things in the world. But it's just like it wasn't. No, forget about parking spot. That too. But this was a married couple. They were just on the top of the entire neighborhood. I was listening to the ears. I called the police. I didn't know. And then I investigated a little bit, and one of their neighbors told me that they do it all the time. It's like, you know, and they've called the police. Nothing happened. But so when a shatan tells you, you have to be on your best behavior. You raise your voice. Everybody's listening, right? Everybody's going to hear you. So it's a little bit different than chavrutah. Yeah.
It's not so clear here. Who is learning from whom?
Same point as before, right? Good. So you could read. So from Rashi, maybe it's a little ambiguous. Take away from Rashi, broader point is that you can say the same thing. It could either mean that I have to be a good neighbor, or it can mean that I should associate myself with good neighbors. Because again, of the advice, the rebuke, the modeling, I have to be on my best behavior, etc. Okay, so that's Shachin Tov. Yeah.
So in terms of looking at the bigger picture,
please.
Tochacha seems to have taken a hit nowadays, where people are always worried about the sensitivity and not hurting someone's feelings. Seems to have trumped.
Right. Okay. So this.
Tochacha.
Right, so there is a mitzvah to rebuke when somebody does something wrong. Modern commentators say that we don't do it anymore because we have lost the art of how to do it. And perhaps people are more sensitive. I don't know. I do think that there is a way to do it. I think the art could be relearned. I think that maybe we could perhaps give a shir on one time of how to give proper rebuke. Not saying to do it, but at least in its essence of how to do it in a way. How do you frame it in a way that the person isn't going to crumble, but rather the person's going to learn and is going to be able to maybe be inspired to do better. There's definitely, I mean, if you're a parent, you have to be able to give rebuke. I mean, it has to be done. And the problem is that people don't know how to do it that well. And a lot of times it turns into a yelling match and to a fight. And so there's a skill, there's an art to how to do it. And maybe we can spend some time at some point to do it, but that's not for today. Yeah.
But part of a true relationship is to be able to tell the person what you think. Obviously not in a nasty way, but otherwise it's not a real relationship. If you can't tell somebody to help them grow or help them do something right, then you don't have a relationship.
Okay, so that could be true. That is true. The question is how to do it well and gently, and to whom?
The right advice.
Right, so there's a way to do it, there's a way to understand it. You have to know the relationship. It's not for just because I see somebody on the street. I remember when I was a little kid, somebody came over to me in Kosher Delight, Aleichem Shalom. And I was like 4 or 5 years old, maybe 7 years old. And random guy. Puts his if anybody went to day camp, trick. So he puts his arm on my shoulder. He's doing a tzitzis check. So checks to see if I'm wearing tzitzis. I happen to have, I guess at that point, not been wearing tzitzis. I don't know why, maybe whatever. 6 or 7 years old. And he starts telling me in the middle of Kosher Delight, tzitzis and this and that. Okay. My father's here. Let's leave it for a different time. But the point here is that you can give rebuke to people you know, you can give people rebuke you don't know. In truth, there is a mitzvah of tochacha. There is a mitzvah of rebuke. You just have to know the context. You have to know how to do it. Okay. Either way, let's move on a little bit. Haroes and Nolad. Okay, we're gonna. One second, guys. Roas Anola. Okay, so I'm trying to figure out now. We're running out of time. All right, so let's do it like this. So let's quickly do our Roas Anola just to give a brief overview of what it means. I think the goal is to give a to spend more time in a different shiur analyzing this, as we'll see next week or 2 weeks. Haruas Anolad is the only one when Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai asks, "What's the path we should stay away from?" So everybody gives the opposite response of their previous, the negative of their positive. So good eye turns into bad eye, good neighbor turns into bad neighbor, good friend turns into bad friend, good heart turns into bad heart. When it comes to Roas Anolad, he changes it and turns it into somebody who takes a loan and doesn't pay it back. So we're going to spend some time analyzing that. I think when we analyze that, why it switches, we'll analyze Roas Anolad in more detail. But for now, just as a simple explanation, Haruas Anolad, the Bartanura says, Sofe umabit bamesha asid lios. This means that I can take a step back and try to predict what's going to happen in the future. So I can be able to make a calculation and accounting. This mitzvah will get me this far. This averu will take me back this far. Schar of schar averu, keneged hefseda, etc. So I can basically be able to have the foresight to know the consequences of my actions. Let's leave it for there. We'll spend some more time talking about it. I do want to get to Lev Tov. Okay, so Lev Tov. Not sure we're going to finish this all now. I'd rather do this slower because there's a lot of good stuff here. So maybe we'll turn this into to two parts. Okay, so let's start with the class of commentators. So what do you guys think? Lev Tov, so off the top of your head, what would you say? Don't just translate good heart. What does it mean to have a good heart?
Compassionate,
sensitive.
Always bechal levavcha. So if you love your family with all of your heart, and that's what fills you, then that directs you in terms of doing all the other mitzvahs as well.
So again, what does it mean?
With full love of Hashem.
Full love of Hashem. Lev Tov means full love of Hashem. So we're going to go with love. So we have compassion, sensitivity, love,
kindness.
Helping,
sharing,
empathy.
Not criticizing anybody. I should.
Not criticizing anybody. Okay. So I do want us to think about and remember whatever our answer is for this. This is going to have to. We're going to have to distinguish it from our answer for what Ayin Tova was. Right, so Ayin Tov meant you have a good eye, here you have a good heart. So what did we mean by good eye? Be happy with what happens to other people. Be kind, be generous. So now be careful. If that's how we're going to understand good eye, does that mean that good heart means, good heart has to mean something else? Right? So maybe we don't understand good eye that way. We have to just keep that in mind. So now,
is that certain that they have to be two distinct?
Presumably, they have to be distinct.
They
could complement, but they have to be different, right? They can't mean the same thing. Okay. So remember, it's going to encapsulate. So it's going to be within Lev Tov. It's going to be Ayin Tov. Okay, so we'll perhaps we'll see. Right, so that's what I'm saying. So we need to at least go above. Maybe if it has to go above and beyond, it can't be the same thing. So it has to be Ayin Tova is this, Lev Tov is this plus this. Alright? And whatever we're going to say about Lev Tov also has to incorporate Chavar Tov, Shachin Tov, Roas Anolad. Okay, so maybe we're going to distinguish between thoughts versus actions. That could be. That's a fair guess. We'll see if anybody says that explicitly. So let's delve in. Starting with the Rambam. So the Rambam here says something which is interesting, and this gets a little complicated with how the word lev is used in Tanakh. and how the word lev is used in Chazal. Right? So nowadays, when we think lev, what do we associate lev with?
Feelings.
Soul. Lev,
what
is it?
Heart.
Heart is what?
Emotions.
Emotions. Lazy, you already given me the answer. I got it.
Yeah, emotions
in the brain. Okay, fine. your wife would be able to explain that very well. So the usually we talk about heart, we talk about emotions, feelings, right? So that's within Torah, that's false, right? So heart does not mean feelings versus. Let's put it this way: it doesn't only mean feelings. Is the way to put it. It encapsulates so much more than that. Actually, take a second. Go to your last page. It's a photocopy. So this is the Concordancia by Avram Evan Shoshan. It's a photocopy. It looks like this. Okay? So I photocopied lev. And now, keep in mind, this is every time the word lev appears in Tanakh. Keep in mind that the way he does this is that this is only when it says the word lev, just lamed bet. I have a different entry on the next page. I have a whole other two-sided pages here that you don't have, where it says vilev, vilev, valev, halev, bilev, uvlev, milev, lev, lev, vilev, bilev, etc. Libcha, vilibcha, bilibcha, uchlibcha, milibcha, vilibi. So the word lev here, if the shoras lev appears in these amounts of psukim. And it keeps going. And we keep going and we keep going until we get to levav. And then we go levav. And it literally levavcha, ulvavo, ulvavchem. And we keep going. Just turn the page again. Eventually we'll get to levad. It's over here. So we got hundreds of entries of the word of the word lev. So let's just take a brief moment to skim some of these psukim to see how the word lev is used. In what context is it used in Tanakh? So if you're following along, we're on the second to left second to over here.
583,
that middle column in the middle, where it says lev on the side of it. Okay, I know it's small. Okay, so just starting here. But tadaber al kol chachmei lev. Does it mean chachmei lev? Wise heart. So all of a sudden, heart, the organ of a heart, nothing to do with emotion as of yet. This is wisdom. Wisdom is what we would refer to as, Laser said, the brain. Uvalev kol chacham lev nasati chachma. In the heart of all smart hearts, I gave wisdom. Next, chacham lev. Okay, so the first three times here we have chacham, chacham, chacham. Next, kol nediv lev. What does nediv lev mean? Generous heart. Okay, so that's not just wisdom. Maybe there's some element of character here. A generous heart. The Holy Shah Chachmaslev. Chachmaslev. Right? Chachmaslev Biyadeham. Right? Good point. She has a wise heart in her hands. Meaning she could stitch, weave well. Number 10, Lev Ragez Vechilion Einayim. This guy, Milas, it was the same idea. Chachmas Lev. So, what is a Lev Ragez? Angry. So, you can have an angry heart. Lona San Hashem Lachem Lev Ladas. He didn't give them a heart to understand. Right? So, basically, and it keeps going. Actually, it numbers it. You got 97 just on this page. I guess I can give you a final number here. Hungry heart. We can have hungry hearts as well.
hearts of stone.
So he got, actually he gives a count here. I didn't realize. So it goes all the way in terms of the Shoresh of Lev, 599.
Does it have Yayin Yisamach above the note?
Yeah, it's all here. Every pasuk is going to be here. Right? So, and we're going to, and if you went through all of these, you're going to see that there's Rechav Lev and Roa Lev. You have good hearts, you have wide hearts, you have bad hearts.
I like 18.
Right? A heart to hear. Right? So now, with that in mind, we're going to go a little bit out of order for a second before we see Perkei Avos per se. Go to the third page. So flip that page that you have now. Flip it. And on the bottom two sources there. First is the Psikta d'Rav Kahana. So Psikta d'Rav Kahana is a medrash. It says as follows. Dibarti ani im libi. So I spoke with my heart. Le'mor hineh ani higdalti ve'osafti chachma. It's a pasuk in Koheles. So he said, so this is the important part. Mikan amru. From this pasuk and from other psukim, we say as follows. Everybody see me?
No, where are you?
Oh, you have the wrong... Sorry, I made a mistake. Second page, not third page. Second page. Okay, on the bottom of the second page. Psikta d'Rav Kahana. Everybody with me now? Sorry. So the middle of that pasuk, the middle of that medrash, the middle of the first line, Mikan Amru, from here and from other psukim, we basically, the medrash is going to gather all of the things that a heart does. Mikan Amru, Halev Roeh, the heart sees. This is going to give us problems in terms of Ayin Tov. But the heart sees, Halev Shomeya, the heart hears, Halev Midaber, the heart speaks, Halev Yodea, the heart knows, Halev Omed, the heart stands, Halev Nofel, the heart falls, Halev Mahalach, the heart walks, Halev Tzoek, the heart screams, Halev Sameach, the heart's happy, Halev Mitnachem, the heart becomes consoled. And then it goes through each one, quoting a pasuk that uses the lev in that context. So we're not going to go through each one, but halev roa, v'libi roa harbei chokma v'das. Well, it's a pasuk that says, my heart saw all of these, you know, chokma, wisdom, etc. So the point here is that in Tanakh, the word lev is used in so many different contexts. So what if you can now, if it's possible, to give an explanation, a definition of what is lev in Tanakh, what would you say?
It encompasses everything.
Everything.
So all the senses.
Senses.
Emotions.
So, getting back to laser, what would you say the lave is?
I would say the lave is the essence.
What we view now as the brain, which does emotions, intentions, thinking, cognitive function, the hearing, speech, everything is in the brain. So when the Torah talks about lev, it uses lev as what we would say is the brain. It encapsulates all cognitive, affective functioning. That's what it is. They didn't know. I mean, they back then they did not know what the brain did. They assumed that the heart was everything, because what happens when you die? Your heart stops. You didn't know your brain stops too,
yeah.
Right? The heart stops. They also, the kidneys is a whole other story, what they understood kidneys was. But your heart beats. When you get scared, what happens to your heart? Your heart goes faster, etc. So everything was interpreted through the physiological functions of the heart, and the heart was given all of these, all these concepts were based on, this is what my heart does. My heart thinks, my heart feels, my heart hears, my heart does all of these things. Yeah. Yeah. So the concept of kidneys also is another story as to how.
Understood why it said.
So Kliot also, they understood kidneys as the yoates. The kidneys gave the advice to the heart, and the heart then decided as to what to do. The ayin perhaps also gives the data to the heart, and then the heart decides what to do. Or as we spoke about last week, maybe the heart sort of encourages the ayin to look in certain places also, so it's a sort of reciprocal relationship with that. But basically, the heart encapsulates all of these things: thinking, emotions, motivations, intentions, is heart. So now, the question becomes as follows, and with this we'll close and leave a cliffhanger for next week, is when we say, when Rav Elazar ben Aruch says, Lev Tov, what does he mean? Is he looking in Tanakh and seeing all of these usages of the word heart and saying, like, okay, you want to know what the best thing is? All right, I got an answer for you. It's the thing that does everything. It's the lathe, right? And if that's the answer, then why didn't everybody else give that answer? Right? If the understanding was Lev Tov encapsulates everything, just from that's the if I could fix my lathe, I can fix everything. So why did everybody else wait to give something else? Why didn't they give this in? It seems to be the best possible answer out there.
Maybe they didn't have a lathe.
Oh, okay, good. So maybe you can start thinking about this. Maybe you could explain that they're only going to give answers for things that they have. Maybe that they're not just saying in theory, they're saying in practice, this is what I have. And maybe only Rav Elazar ben Aruch had the Lev Tov to be able to say that a Lev Tov is good. But just from looking at this, you say, like, why would you give any other answer besides Lev Tov? Yeah.
Because the Lev Tov is so big and so general, so encompassing, that it's like telling someone to do the impossible. So what the others are saying, try this. You know, fix yourself slowly in a small area. And if you do that, then so on. Because, you know, it's like any task that you give to somebody, you know, they do tshuva shlema. Mm-hmm. How do you begin to do that? Just start with minisem.
Okay, good. So so maybe the answer is that everybody agrees, and we'll see this next week. We're going to save this for next week. Maybe everybody agrees that Lev Tov is the best in the world. Best thing possible. But it's not a question of what's best. It's a question of how do we get there. So maybe. So we'll have to. So over this week, think about, first of all, what is Lev Tov? How can I encapsulate that? What does it incorporate? Does it incorporate? Keep in mind, just because Tanakh uses Lev as meaning X, doesn't mean Rav Elazar ben Aruch or Yochanan ben Zakkai will mean the same exact thing when they say Lev Tov. You got to be careful. Just like we don't use the same meaning as Lev Tov. We're talking about hundreds and hundreds of years later. Maybe during their time, they already understood that the brain was the functioning of everything. I don't know. We'll have to see. We have some interesting sources about that. So we're raising questions for next week, and then we're going to have to see how do the commentators interpret Lev Tov, and then how does that fit in with Ayin Tova, and then perhaps we're already putting a lot into next week. I'm still going to do Ra'as and Olad, and then we also want to see if there's a progression from one thing to the next, and then another thing that we might do, either next week or the week afterwards, is, we'll remember the first week we did this, I gave you a box, and the box had the student's name, the praise that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai gave of the student, then it had the student's answer to this question, what's the straight path, right? And then what's the bad path? And now the question that we perhaps want to ask, and a lot of commentators make this assumption, is that their character, meaning what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai praised them with, has to do, piggybacks with, their answer to this question. So now, what does it mean to be, remember, let's just do simple, raise the question, but the Eliezer ben Horkanus had a great memory, and his answer is, Ayin Tova. So what does it mean to have a good memory? How does that affect Ayin Tova?
And you see,
right. Okay. So.
Could you give it to us next week?
Yeah. Well, I'll redo that. I'm not even sure we're going to get to that next week. That might be in 2 weeks from now. But, okay, we got a lot to do. All right, we'll see.